It's Welcome to the Resolution.
All right. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Stuart.
How you doing?
Good.
Cool. Welcome to the Resolution. Another episode for us here in our podcast series. We've talked about them a little bit, I believe, in one of our previous episodes, expats and areas in which someone who is a U.S. citizen abroad might be finding themselves in possible tax issues. So we wanted to touch base on what someone can do when they find themselves or realize that they are out of compliance.
Sounds good. Yep. Expat non-compliance is a very common phone call here at WATAX from Europe and Asia and South America and Africa. The biggest question for expats that are out of compliance when they hit the Googleverse is, should I do the Streamline Expat Program, which offers the promise of reduced penalties by giving voluntary disclosure, or should I not?
And so this is a program that's been offered by the IRS for how long now?
Yeah, I'm not sure, 10, 15 years. It's based in the International Division in Austin, Texas. And it's a program where, due to the high penalties incurred largely by unfiled FBARs and FATCA, which is part of the 1040, it's a financial disclosure form, plus corporations, American owners of foreign corporations through the Form 5471. The penalties are so big that people have used the Streamline Expat program to mitigate those penalties historically. You know, the big question is, here in 2023, you know, what's changed that will affect the calculation of whether you should do it or not? Because frankly, the biggest annoyance about doing Streamline is paying a fancy pants accountant or attorney like Washington Tax Services to represent you in that program. Mm-hmm. Is it necessary to throw a few thousand dollars to do that program? We're actually looking out for you against our own best interest. You know, mm-hmm. If we weren't having this podcast, we'd be just saying, oh yeah, you got to do the Streamline. But the fact is, sometimes it's not worth it. And sometimes they don't get a full penalty waiver. They get a negotiated reduction in penalties. And so even that premise, paying penalties, you might even pay a little bit of penalties. So that's another argument to maybe not do it. And so really, if we're going to frame this, the IRS, how it's supposed to operate in theory versus how the IRS operates in practice. And the truth of the matter is, Washington Tax Service has done dozens and dozens of expat cases without the Streamline protection. Mm-hmm. And we've had no problems. So the IRS doesn't assess FBAR penalties in the amount of volume that you think. And very recently, the IRS has been told by the tax court that they can't assess penalties for 5471s for American owners of foreign corporations, completely changing the calculus of Form 5471 and the Streamline Expat program. So with these changes and Washington tax experience, we just have some recommendations. And so should we, I guess, Stuart, I'm just thinking we'll just frame that.
Before we go there, what is the Streamline? Just simplified.
Very good. So the Streamline's File 6 FBARs, file 3 1040s, and your Form 5471s and FATCAs, ask for forgiveness.
So it's the most recent 3 years,
yes.
But then if you have bank holdings for 6, you cover further back. That's
for FBARs.
In a nutshell, but then you also give that declaration of a disclosure for non-compliance.
Yes.
Got it.
If you're not doing Streamline, you're filing maybe 6 1040s to be safe. But you could also do the same structure, 3 1040s, possibly. To do it the same way, but not package it in a Streamline program. This today, in the summer of 2023, this is what we're recommending, based on the tax court rulings, based on our experience. Most importantly, if you're nervous, we get it. That's what being human's all about. And you just got to do the Streamline Expat, hey, we're going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. So that's a one reason to do the Streamline Expat.
It's like that, almost like an extra peace of mind for somebody.
Yeah.
So sometimes people might need that, but in our experience, we found it hasn't shown to be that much more beneficial.
Well, let's just hear this out. The number one reason for doing a Streamline Expat is if you and your heart's desire need to do it. You can't discount it. But another big reason to do a Streamline Expat is if you have a lot of high balance bank accounts overseas.
I see.
I would want the peace of mind. If I had a million or more in overseas accounts, I'm doing the Streamline. Because I can afford representation and that's saving some potentially big penalties on the FBARs and the FATCAs. I would say that would be the number one trigger.
So it's based on income level or at least the bank holdings.
The bank holdings would be a top thing. And if you're going to owe a lot in taxes and you can get the penalties handled, that would be another trigger. Now, very recently, the 5471 would have been a Streamline Expat trigger, but that's no longer a thing. You still got to file that.
Remind us what the 5471 is.
If you own a foreign corporation, you've got to do the most onerous form in the IRS forms list called the Form 5471 to determine if your foreign company should be taxed for the GILTI tax, the hilariously acronymed GILTI tax, for essentially monies you might have held in a corporation that should be taxed.
One of those disclosures, kind of similar to maybe an FBAR.
It's not similar to an FBAR in one regard. Mm-hmm. You're taxed on it. If you held money in a foreign corporation and weren't taxed on it, the U.S. might want to tax you on it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
So it's different in it. But I guess there is a disclosure aspect. But there is actually a tax calculation.
A tax element.
There is no tax calculation on an FBAR or a FATCA. Those are simply like, hey, here's what I own. Overseas. So in summary, the reason people do the Streamline is if they really, their heart's desire, and they have a lot of assets overseas, or they might owe a lot of taxes when they file their expat returns. The rest of you can file without the Streamline. FBAR penalties aren't as common as you would think. We buy a lot of FBARs here. Now, occasionally I'll see one and they're nasty and ridiculous. In fact, this tax court ruling on Form 4571 could maybe have another effect on some of these other, on FBARs and 3520s, which is the foreign trust and foreign gifts form, which is another, which I guess I should add that to the case. If you have a foreign trust that distributed money to you, or had a foreign gift that was substantial that could potentially had a tax involved, the Streamline's good for 3520s. That tax court ruling might have an effect on that, possibly. But most of you folks should file 6 FBARs, 3 1040s, maybe 6 1040s, and not freak out, particularly if you're not going to owe tax. As you may know, we'll recap some basics here. The foreign earned income exclusion excludes, don't quote me on this, $110,000 of income. It changed every year. Mm-hmm. And foreign tax credits are dollar for dollar. You can't have your cake and eat it too. With the foreign earned income exclusion, the foreign tax credits are mitigated based on what you used in the exclusion. But you know, there's a lot of great tools for expats to exclude their income. But you should definitely get in compliance. Which leads to another subject, which is kind of acute for people. Just sorry to throw a topic at you, Stuart, out of blue. People are freaked out about the passports.
Sure. I mean, a lot of times I think we get people who reach out to us. That's one of the main drivers coming out to us and saying, hey, wow, I've got a passport that's expiring or that I'm traveling soon. And they're nervous about it. And suddenly they realize there's this tax compliance element to that.
Yep. And let's just recap that. The passport revocation is rare. You have to owe a lot of money. You get stopped at an airport, but if you owe a lot to the IRS, they will definitely prevent you from renewing your passport. That's the most common. Now, both revocation and renewals are fixed by getting into compliance and working out an installment agreement if you owe taxes, or even file an offer in compromise just the action of putting them in motion should prevent your passport renewal from being blocked. Now, a lot of you procrastinate. I gotta get my passport unlocked. I'm going to Mexico for my parents' 50th anniversary. And, you know, sometimes we can still rush those cases out. But 45 days is helpful. You gotta get the program in motion. Then the Secretary of State needs to give the approval to allow your passport. It's a different environment for expats, particularly an easier environment. Making the streamlined program, which attorneys and accountants like Washington Tax will charge a lot to do. A lot is relative. Some will charge a lot more than Washington Tax will to do that procedure, but it's not as necessary. But if you're one of those people, got to do it. Hey, we'll do it for you.
So a lot of people, you know, obviously will find us either through this YouTube or through our website, plottax.com. You can certainly find more details about expat filing.
At our great blog.
At our blog, exactly. 888-282-4697. You can give us a call as well. Our onboarding will go over some of the kinds of elements to whatever's happening with their tax issues, and we can guide the kind of information we're giving you today.
We'll evaluate your case, streamline, no streamline, and we'd love to talk to you. A good session. Thank you, Stuart.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay.
Okay. All right.